let's start talking about your economic proposals. And you start by saying education is where we begin rebuilding the economy. That said, retraining workers and developing partnerships with higher ed and the like takes time. Is that going to be enough of a starting point given the current state of the economy? Is it going to develop jobs quickly enough for the state that the economy's in now?
Well, we do need multiple steps, Brady, and one of them is investing in opportunity today for prosperity tomorrow. So I agree that's not immediate. What I want to do is help grow small businesses. 90% of the jobs here in New Hampshire come from small business, and I want to move small businesses forward by lowering their taxes and making sure they can get the loans that they need to expand. What we really need to do is create consumption in the middle class, and that's why my tax plan is focused on helping the middle class to move forward so that we create consumer demand, and that in turn creates opportunities for new jobs. And then the other piece of this is to make sure that we're creating jobs right here in New Hampshire and in America. I want to close the tax loopholes that encourage companies to ship jobs overseas, the outsourcing, and make sure that our tax plan, our tax incentives, are to reward companies for creating jobs right here at home.
Since you had mentioned small business lending, I wanted to ask about that because you point toward that as a factor that will encourage hiring. Since the Great Recession, though, that has been a lot easier said than done. How do you encourage small business lending going forward when it has been so difficult to do that up to this point?
Well, what my understanding from visiting small businesses around the state is that they're caught up in a catch-22 in terms of the lending regulations, because what the banks are asking for is their balance sheet over the past several years, and they want to see increasing sales. Obviously, in a recession, you don't have increasing sales. So I think we need to make sure that the SBA loans, the small businesses, and the banks right here in New Hampshire have the freedom to make loans that will help to grow our economy here on Main Street. You know, we need reasonable regulation on Wall Street to protect consumers from another crash, but I believe that in that regulation, we've probably done more harm than good with the small local banks, and certainly we need to keep the SBA lending going to small businesses because that's where jobs are created in New Hampshire, and that's the growth that we're all looking for.
So that main financial overhaul that the Congress passed a couple of years ago, the Dodd-Frank, would you support then an overhaul of some of those regulations to try to encourage that lending?
What I want to focus on are the independent banks, the small banks that have been caught up because of the too big to fail and the big bank regulation, which I agree with, by the way. We do need to have more stringent regulations so that we don't experience the type of crash that we had on Wall Street. But in the course of that, I want to make sure that local banks, small banks, and particularly the Small Business Administration is moving forward with making credit available for capital improvements, for hiring, for buying new equipment so that businesses can move forward.
Let's talk about your plans on the tax code and tax breaks to encourage high growth industries and more jobs. Your plan also says it's time to strip away decades of corporate subsidies, tax breaks, and sweetheart deals. So, for example, in reference to oil and gas subsidies, couldn't one, though, make an argument that in providing tax breaks for new high growth industries that you're replacing one kind of subsidy or tax deal with another?
Actually, I would change the subsidization completely. I don't think we can afford. I think we need to be serious about deficit reduction, and we need to tackle the debt in a serious way. And my opponent has voted for $40 billion in tax subsidies to oil and gas companies. I think we need to eliminate that type of corporate welfare, eliminate the subsidies for big agriculture, and we need to get back to a level playing field so that renewable energy and small local farms can begin to compete. It will help both our local economy and our planet in the long run. And frankly, people will be healthier as well.
So in setting up a level playing field, are you envisioning a situation where these new forms of energy are not receiving any tax breaks that oil and gas wouldn't then also be getting?
There would need to be a transition period, but the reason that renewable energy doesn't move forward is because they can't begin to compete for investors with the enormous tax subsidies that we're all paying out for fossil fuels and the oil and gas industry. So it's not the case that renewables don't expand because we don't have great ideas or we don't have the technology. We have the technology right here in New Hampshire. I've visited terrific companies all over the district that have great new ideas for renewable energy, but they cannot compete in the financial market to attract investors because of years and years and years of very expensive tax credits, tax subsidies, and frankly, corporate welfare that is propping up the oil and gas industry. At a time when consumers are paying record prices at the pump and oil and gas companies are taking in record profits. So we can't afford that type of corporate welfare anymore. And, you know, honestly, this is the crux of the matter of what's wrong in Washington. The gridlock and the special interests, my opponent received most of his money for his campaign from large corporate PACs. He sits on the Energy and Commerce Committee, and those contributions come from ExxonMobil. They come from oil and gas companies, nuclear, coal, right down the line. I want to go to Washington to represent the interests of the people of the state of New Hampshire. And I funded my campaign in an entirely different way, by individuals. Our average contribution, $53. So I will go to Washington to represent the people of the state of New Hampshire, and they deserve a seat at the table.
Another question for you on taxes. You've said the tax code should reward R&D investment and startup growth. And I wanted to ask about startups in particular, because they tend to be more risky ventures than your standard business approach. Is the startup economy simply too risky to guarantee the kind of investment that we'd be putting in to result in enough jobs? Or would it be more beneficial to look toward companies that maybe aren't as flashy, maybe don't have the huge upside potential as a startup does, but they also don't have that big potential downside of putting a lot of money in and then not panning out?
Well, the fact is our tax code props up large business that as it is right now, and it's very expensive. This type of tax subsidy and corporate welfare is very expensive. I'm talking about giving new ideas a chance in the marketplace so that they can compete. And whether it's renewable energy, whether it's high technology, whether it's new medical breakthroughs, this is the type of research and development and new ideas that has been driving our economy forward throughout my lifetime. And we can't simply sit back. If you're not moving forward with the new ideas, you're not competing in the 21st century economy. Because trust me when I say that India and China are moving forward with new ideas.
But there is always the running the risk of failing when you have those new ideas. There is that element of risk. And given that we are trying to get back on our feet here and trying to jumpstart some growth, is that going to be the most effective way to do that?
Well, you can't do it without that. And my point is, let the private sector take the risk. But right now, we don't have a level playing field for investors making those decisions. I'm not suggesting that the government take the risk. I'm suggesting that new and evolving and emerging markets get treatment for research and development credits that old markets have had for years and years and years.
One of the areas you call for the government to make investments is in infrastructure, and that's in roads and bridges, but it's also in broadband internet, which is sort of a 21st century infrastructure. This is another one of those cases where everybody of every political stripe agrees that this is something that needs to be done, and yet it doesn't seem to be done. What steps do you take then to break that cycle in this state?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there are parts of this district that are still on broadband, and you cannot compete in a 21st century economy with a small business somewhere in western or northern New Hampshire that's on broadband communication. So, on landline communication. And what we need to do is shift to broadband throughout the district, and we need to make sure that is moving forward. It takes a public-private partnership. That's obviously the private sector that's going to make that investment. But just the way we did with roads and bridges and highways and telecommunications, telephone, we need to make sure that we create an environment where these types of infrastructure improvements get made so that then the private sector can flourish in this market. My belief is that it is the private sector that creates jobs, but it's the public sector that creates the environment for job creation. And that's my focus on the infrastructure, the roads, the bridges, the highways, and the telecommunications that will deliver the products and deliver the services that people need here in New Hampshire.
Just a couple more questions for you. Since you had brought up the idea of the public-private partnership in some areas, one that comes to mind is defense. And you've called for an end of what you call redundant defense contracts that we simply can no longer afford. You've also criticized the sequestration deal, as has every member of the New Hampshire congressional delegation. And you said that you would make sure that defense cuts, wherever they're made, don't wind up hurting the local defense jobs, for example, like those at BAE Systems. But isn't every local representative going to say, my local defense jobs are essential to national security, cut in some other district in some other state?
Well, the truth of the matter is Congressman Bass voted for the sequestration, and I was surprised to see him wringing his hands worrying about defense cuts here in New Hampshire. Look, we need to have a much more savvy and sophisticated look at our defense budget. And what I'm concerned about is that we have redundant weapons systems that the Pentagon is not even asking for, but they can't stop. And rather than broad across-the-board cuts, the products that are made here at BAE are the products that keep our servicemen and women safe. And so I do not want us to cut the very products that are keeping the troops safe, night vision goggles, body armor, the types of things that our troops need to stay safe. But I am more than willing to cut weapon systems that the Pentagon is not even asking for and does not need.
Last question, and this is one we're asking of every candidate. Given your proposals on jobs and the economy, what would you tell Granite Staters to look for 2 years from now to see whether or not they're better off economically than they are here in 2012?
Absolutely, Brady. What I would tell Granite Staters is to look at three things. One is, are we moving forward with the job training so that New Hampshire graduates are available and ready and willing to work in the jobs that are available here in New Hampshire today? Number two, are we moving forward with innovation, research and development of new ideas that are going to create new markets for New Hampshire to compete? And number three, have we moved forward with infrastructure, making sure that we have broadband communication widely available so that small businesses all over the 2nd District can compete in the 21st century economy? If we get those three things right, I'm very confident that our economy will be thriving here in New Hampshire. And I'm proud to see that our unemployment is down to just 5.1%, but I know we can do even better, and that every person that is ready and willing and able to work has a job that they can be proud of.
Annie Custer, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks so much.